And we have hard copies of the user guide. Everything you wanted to know about conformity but were afraid to ask is in this book.
Who's on the
Mike, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Anybody else? Was Brad going to call in?
I thought he was going to come today, but like I've been gone the last 3 days, so I didn't get it coordinated with him. But he said that meeting that we had Wednesday that he was planning on coming today, so I assumed he'd at least call in, but maybe.
So this is sort of one of those boxes that we're going to check off here from the, from our air quality assessment, the federal review that we had, and that Brad was very interested in. I know in this report we'll probably have to mail it to him. So that's our final report on that. And next up on the agenda, the maintenance plan budgets. And Joe, talking about that.
Okay. Two items up pretty quickly there. Did everybody get one? I'm handing out a sheet with a draft proposal for the motor vehicle emission budgets from our PM 2.5 maintenance plan revision. So we can open and start the discussion for the coordinating of these budgets. What I handed out.
Why don't you come over here? I'm going to hear this.
All right. And I'll talk about the budgets, and Mike maybe can host this as well. But this is a draft, so we're starting to coordinate these motor vehicle emission budgets for the Missouri side of the St. Louis non-attainment area for the 1997 PM 2.5 annual standard. And we have submitted a maintenance plan to EPA previously for the standard, but due to some of the litigation at the federal level for the trading rule, now called CSAP or formerly CARE, that maintenance plan was never acted on. And we are now, due to some memos at EPA level, we are now revising that plan to submit it, now being updated for 2015. So maintenance plan is good for 10 years. And 2015 is the year we hope for approval of the maintenance plan by the EPA. So we set a baseline budget of 2008. 2008 is the middle year of the year we had clean data. I think it's based on 7, 8, and 9 was the year that we had clean PM 2.5 data. So 2008 is that middle year. So what you see in front of you is these budgets that we are drafting to put in our maintenance plan. Now, how the end year of 2025, that's 10 years beyond 2015, how those budgets were developed in this draft, we took our baseline budget, 2008, and we projected it or grew it at 1.5% VMT growth rate to 2025. The 2008 budget was obtained using population or vehicle fleet numbers obtained from the Department of Revenue, and we used state highway miles traveled by MoDOT, and then we used traffic demand models from East-West Gateway for the non-state or local roads to determine VMT for 2008. Then for 2025, we grew that 2008 budget at a VMT, vehicle miles traveled growth rate, of 1.5% annually. And this is reflected in this table for nitrogen, oxides of nitrogen. We propose in this draft 58,820 tons per year. In 2025, we project that number will have dropped to 16,568. For PM2.5, our 2008 baseline is 2,179 tons per year. And for 2025, we propose that will drop to 533 tons per year. So we propose, or in this draft, we hope to propose this maintenance plan soon for public comment. But we wanted to start the discussion here. We feel that these projections would be a fair method of setting a budget for transportation conformity. The reason the 2025 numbers are significantly smaller, a fraction of the 2008 numbers, despite the growth in vehicle miles traveled, is because of federal motor vehicle emission standards that are in place right now, and the replacement of older, less economical, or use more fuel and higher emitting cars will have dropped off as we replace the fleet. And this is a standard method. Most of the members here have been in on these discussions. So I was just opening it up for discussion and questions and to start the process of us coordinating these budgets. What will happen next is we'll propose these in a maintenance plan revision that we're moving forward with and take public comment on those maintenance plan revisions, and when adopted, we'll submit these to the EPA for an adequacy determination of the budgets, which can be done independent of their acting on the maintenance plan. So if anybody has any questions on that, I'd like to hear them. These proposals, and Mike will go ahead and post that draft PM 2.5 budgets. NOx and PM 2.5 direct are the two components from vehicles affecting PM 2.5. PM 2.5 direct and NOx is a precursor. None of the other precursors of PM 2.5 are emitted by motor vehicles. Is that explained?
Yeah.
Okay, and I put notes there on it.
Everything goes as planned, how quickly will these be in place or found adequate? What's any projections on that?
Well, we're still working with EPA on that. We just wanted to start the process of letting everybody in the IECG know this is in draft or development form. Do we know when this might be seen public hearing? I think I have a note.
You said winter. This winter, I'm not sure if we're on the schedule, but say if we then adopt the plan and these budgets early next year and we submit it to EPA in that time frame.
Sure.
How much time does EPA need to find an adequate? They have a 30-day comment period.
We would be dealing with Stephen Cody Brown on the adequacy determination and work with East West Gateway on their conformity cycles, because once it's deemed adequate, we have to use it in the conformity cycle, even if you're in the middle of it. So we'll continue to work with you and EPA Region 7 staff on that. But that brings me into, if there's no further discussion on this, the next thing that's very related are...
I'm going to look at them, but how do these compare with the current? I can look at it later, but if you've already taken one.
Well, I don't know that we have.
We don't have budgets. We have interim. We operate under Builder.
We're
2002 baseline test.
Baseline test.
It's a baseline.
So these are complete.
Yes. We've looked at these. We've
done some sensitivity tests.
It seems fine now. I think we're in good shape.
And we've developed these budgets, we're offering these budgets based on a straight projection of the Moody's model. And then there are various ways in budgets, but we feel that piece of the pie or maintenance plan, we'll just offer that to the consultation group as the model projection for the budget. And like I said, significant drought, but we're you know, hoping that the newer emitting vehicles, that's what the Moody's model shows, and they have all the federal motor vehicle standards programmed.
Do you know if the Moody's model, have they cranked in new CAFE standards? I mean, those are pretty drastic too.
Well, the model we used is a 2010B, which I think actually came out late last year. Okay. It's called 2010B. So some of the modelers on the line are here, might be able to speak. Yet when they upgrade the model, all the latest standards, I presume, are put into there. So I'm assuming it's fairly recent, reflective of the latest standards.
I thought that's what you were talking about, was CAFE standards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, which one? I guess what most recent ones are put into the model? The standard CAFE standards as of this Moody's model, which I think is the latest revision, 2010B, if there's a model on the line. So I don't know what they've come out with the federal government for model year 2017 or later. So whatever they said is reflected in our model.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure the latest model year, they always said on the 5-10 year give the car industry time. And so what we're going to discuss next is in regard to this adequacy determination. We had discussed previously the early progress plan for ozone and the motor vehicle emission budgets we had brought before this group previously, and they were proposed and adopted by the Missouri Air Conservation Commission. And we discussed holding off on submitting them to EPA till the start of this latest conformity cycle. So we submitted for approval and adequacy our early progress plan to EPA, and EPA staff and Stephen Covey Brown are moving forward with the adequacy of those budgets, 2015 motor vehicle emission budgets for the Missouri portion of the St. Louis 8-hour ozone non-attainment area. And we have discussed, I won't go over those numbers unless you want to, but EPA is taking comments for the adequacy determination of those budgets that we've discussed here previously. And they're taking comments through October 4th. And the website, you can contact Stephen and Cody Brown of Region 7, or the website is basically epa.gov/OTAC/state resources/transconf, and then /CURRSIPS.HDM. But anyway, if you go to the OTAC website, you should be able to see that they're taking comments on this adequacy determination. And so far with the coordination before this group, we don't see any problems with those numbers, unless anybody has any questions about those ozone budgets embedded here. Okay. That's all. Yes.
Actually, I have a question about the PM25 information. Is this something that, like, do we need this group to go on record that they're okay with these assumptions before we get much further along, or how does that work?
Do we need to go on record that at least we started the discussion? And I guess maybe when it's proposed for public hearing, when it's out there for the public to comment, I can bring it up again. Or
typically we don't have any kind of a motion or anything on budgets unless there's some issue raised, and it's done so early in the process that we're kind of all on, you know, interagency groups all on board as it moves through.
So I guess we were bringing it up at the early development stage.
It's pretty tested.
Yes, Betsy.
Oh, I did have a question. I don't know who else on the phone. This is Betsy Tracy from Federal Highway Administration. And just my only question that kind of jumped out here, and I'm not sure of the timing of the mold, or the Moody's model and so forth, but it looks like the assumptions were 2008 input data. Is there a point in time when that's not considered the most current planning, or, you know, the most current data? I mean, we did, since 2008, we have a recession. I'm not sure if people are hanging on to cars or selling them in the frequency that they were in 2008. I'm just throwing it out there as an issue.
And yeah, I guess I'll mention 2008 budget is used to demonstrate conformity for analysis years prior to 2025. So we'd only, we set that as a baseline. We presume, other than these assumptions you bring up, we presume that emissions would continue to go down from 2008. So if we use that as a budget for comparison, that would be a very high high number of emissions should be going down. Mike, can you speak to us using the 2008 as the base year? That was the year that we had clean data.
Right.
That was the first year, so that would be our base year.
Right.
And then 2015 is the year that we assume, we're hoping the maintenance plan would be approved. And then 2025 is 10 years beyond that. It's usually how maintenance plans work. We had to revise this maintenance plan because, as Illinois had to do last year to give EPA time to approve it, and our previous one had already passed. So it's usually that 2015 year, I think, is the year that we need to give EPA time. So if we had it on 2012 to 2022, we'd have to revise it because 2012 is already passed. Is there anybody from Illinois?
So on the Illinois side, are you getting like corollary kinds of, are you also going through some of these exercises?
Mike Rogers, they were asking our,
asking about the budgets in Illinois, PM?
Well, we have not established a maintenance plan for PM 2.5 in the Metro East St. Louis area, to my knowledge. But as far as what Joe was describing about anticipating it, like, a bit of a future year, 2015, we had a similar situation in the Chicago area where we did have an active maintenance plan submitted to US EPA. Then with the change in the DSAPR rule, we had to go back, revise that maintenance plan, and we moved our budgets out. At that time, we were in 2012, moved them out to start in 2014, similar to what kind of Joe is proposing for 2015.
Thank you, Mike. Can you speak anything to what Betsy said about the 2008?
I couldn't understand. I didn't hear Betsy.
I mean, the issue was is the 2008 input data defensible in this process when a number of years have passed? That's my question.
I'm sorry, Betsy. What you're breaking up.
What she was asking, Mike, was 2008, is that a rational budget year? Can we defend that? Or, I mean, is there
Well, yeah, the beginning of the maintenance period is the payment year, and that's what Missouri has chosen in 2008, is as Joe said, in the middle of their 3-year payment period. So I think that's a reasonable place. I mean, that is a place to start. It could either be 07 or 08 or 09, and so I think it's Missouri's call to which year they choose with the concurrence of the group, but that's certainly, I mean, a lot to go within the realm of what's required, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Thanks for explaining that, Mike.
Thank you. Okie doke. And now, straight from Jefferson City.
The agenda says South County Connector conformity issues, but really what we're talking about are the hotspot issues that came out of the EIS associated with the South County Connector. I'm starting to see some of these EIS documents. They're passing them by me to review for before they go to Federal Highway for signing the record of decision. And we've got some issues on the South County Connector project that's holding up signing that record of decision. One of the, well, the hotspot issue really isn't an issue, but as I reviewed the analysis that was done by the consultant, actually, Carol, do you have the analysis that the consultant did to start off with?
This is your attachment.
Yeah, in that email. There was another email that came from Laura to you guys.
Oh, no.
Do you have that on there?
I don't.
I can, let me.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's just
move ahead with this. I know what you mean.
The evaluation alluded to after the carbon monoxide discussion that they would also include a qualitative analysis. And when I first heard that, I said, if you answer no to everything, that should mean that you don't have to go any further.
Right.
But they said, according to your guidance in your hotspot document, it says, and if you look up here, the statement right here, and these are the comments that we got from OTAC,
right,
when we sent it to them for their comments, says, if no, a qualitative CO hotspot analysis is required under C40 CFR 93.123. And when I went back and I saw that that was a comment from OTAC, I first told the group on the phone that, well, that was a comment from OTAC, so I'm going to have to look at that. As I went back and looked, because it, you know, obviously it struck me as odd that they would answer no to all these criteria questions and then have to do a qualitative analysis, even if none of the criteria were met. So I went back and I couldn't find anything. And then I got to thinking, well, that footnote right there, what that is saying in essence is you're either going to do a qualitative or a quantitative analysis, no matter what you answer on these criteria questions. So,
then we got to looking at the kind of the history of all of that, which dates back to the New Mississippi River Bridge. And the reason that we have a qualitative assessment in there is because we didn't have the quantitative rule about how to put quantitative. And so we did a qualitative assessment on the Mississippi River Bridge. If you follow that.
The qualitative analysis is what used to be required.
Right.
Before they came up with the quantitative. So that's kind of an obsolete analysis these days. So my proposal is to take that one footnote out of our document so that there's no confusion. I thought I'd bring it up at this meeting and then let everybody review it a little bit and bring it back at the next meeting for taking out.
Did you ever talk to OTAC?
No, I was hoping Cody would be on the phone here. And,
he could be on the communication with you.
But, you know, like, we'll have to communicate with him.
Right.
And if they can come back and have a good reason for keeping it in there, I guess we consider it. But I haven't been able to find anything. So,
I think we're going to, on the South County Connector project, we're going to move ahead with the qualitative, right?
Well, they said that they can include a qualitative analysis, and I said that'd be fine, because I think a qualitative analysis is just going a little bit further with your case. So, but this most recent evaluation that they sent out says, if required, a qualitative analysis will be included in the final EIS. So I take that as they're going to wait to see what we do. And I don't think they're looking at maybe finally signing the ROD sometime next summer. So they do have plenty of time to wait to see what we do.
Okay.
Well, like I said, it's been put into practice now, and we've got a little experience with the document, and things might start popping up as we go. But, you know, some of the other things on this particular evaluation is all the questions were answered no. We've got in our document a 10% truck traffic or 10,000 trucks kind of threshold. The only thing that may fall outside of our guidance in our document is that they say that there's 11.7% truck traffic.
What kind of ADT?
Pardon?
What kind of ADT?
Around 5,000 is around 5,000 trucks. So it's about half of the 10,000. Which stands to reason, you know, when we were developing this and we're thinking about what roads in St. Louis might rise to the level of AADT required to need a hotspot analysis, you know, it's sort of like I-70, 270, the major interstates. So this is well under the overall truck traffic that the 10,000 number that we came up with.
I'm trying to remember when we drafted this document. Is it 10% or 10,000, either or? 10% of the AADT? I mean, we say we've got a checklist that no for that one because it's below.
It's actually in our.
It's in the book.
Everything you want to know.
Okay. Yeah, it's E3, page E3. What is the percentage of AADT of diesel truck traffic of the affected roadways if diesel truck traffic constitutes greater than 10% of total AADT or at least 10,000 trucks?
So page E4.
So in your opinion, that word is that it has to be both of them?
Yeah, that's why we put or in there.
Would be and.
Is it or one or the other?
It boils down to if so say you answer yes to that question because of the 11.7. Then it says consult with the IACG. So that's, you know, by having me review it, I guess from MoDOT's standpoint, identifying things that might need to be reviewed by the interagency group. And so that's kind of why I brought it up today. My interpretation is that because the total number of trucks is so low, that it would pass this test. And does anybody else disagree with me?
What would you say the total number of trucks was?
Around 5,000 is what they put in here, which is around 44,000 is the total AADT for that roadway, and if you take 11.7, it comes to
5,000.
Yeah, right around 5,000. You figure 10,044 is 4,400, so. So, you know, that brings up a question, and if we ever see anything like this, you know, I guess if Federal Highway has a question about that, when they review the EIS for signing the final rod, and they've, on this particular EIS, they've got several other questions that are bigger stumbling blocks than this is. But you know, my recommendation was that it was fine. Federal Highway has the final say on that, and if they say that it needs to be discussed here at the interagency group, then they'll let us know, and then we'll bring it to the interagency group to discuss. In this situation, I think they were in agreement that no hotspot analysis. So does anybody have any other questions about that then? I mean,
I understand where the 10% came from and the 10,000, and that kind of came out of US EPA's guidance, even though with EPA did 8%. But aren't you kind of in a position right now that the 10% is going to be the cap for you rather than the 10,000 the way it's written? I mean, right now it seems like you're getting stuck with the 10% and the threshold. This one is 11 point something. Other than the true 10,000, which I think was your real intent to show it was a project of air quality concern.
So I suppose we could, or you're talking about changing it from or to and.
Yeah.
In the document. And
or somehow clarifying that the or is meant to be an alternative, but the real number is what we're interested in is the 10,000 ADT.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Really, what made me determine that it wasn't was the lower overall truck number. So maybe you're right that we need to change the or to and in the document. That's something for everybody to consider between now and the next meeting also, and we can propose that change be made also along with taking that footnote out.
Well, maybe to help us understand that point, what if we take the kind of the converse of that, what if there was more than 10,000 trucks, but it was only 6% of the total ADT? What would that mean?
Well, according to your if that were the case, then your overall ADT is going to be super high to get to that number.
Right.
So you're going to
need one.
You're going to need a couple of criteria there.
Like the one above it. 125,000 total ADT.
Say it's 150.
Well, we could just make it and or. It's so confusing that to throw up our hands.
Really, what it boils down to is if there's a question, it needs to be brought to the interagency.
Right.
I guess in essence, bringing it before the interagency group now for discussion. Even though Federal Highway hasn't said we have a problem.
Right. Well, I think you're good to deal with this now. I mean, you've got a real life example.
Right.
It seems like I don't know much about their project. It's a Missouri project, but I think it's potentially high profile and newspaper. I'm just saying that sort of thing probably is a good idea to go through. But I'd say one is that that footnote, and if OTEC really, if that's really what they meant. Or if it was, it should be no. it just doesn't intuitively make any sense the way that that's written today. And the other thing is it probably should be in number two on page E4 up above. And I mean, I'm guessing that's the, that may have been the intent. But I think walking through this.
We can propose that we change that to and.
Is that what it sounds
like?
Discussion
at the next meeting. And finalize.
And the only thing is and or is the same position you're in now.
Right.
I don't know if that does anything.
Another thing that you're looking at here, it boils down to Federal Highway and their determination when they're signing the ride.
So what's your opinion as to where that project is? You said the rod's on hold, we will know.
As far as the air quality portion of it, and that's just this document here that I reviewed. Number one, the thing that jumped out at me was that qualitative analysis being required. And number two, the 11.7 caught my eye.
Because it's over.
But then when I look at the 5,000 number, I feel comfortable that I can come to this group and have everybody agree that because what you're looking at is if you're splitting hairs that thin and you say, no, this requires a hotspot analysis, then that project sponsor is going to have to go out and hire a consultant at extreme cost to do a hotspot analysis for them. So your project sponsors aren't going to be happy if we start making those determinations. Now, the law is the law, and you have to follow the law, so if there's no question, then you have to do it. But some of these things are going to fall real close, and this is one of them. This is the closest we've come since I've been looking at this stuff. But I feel comfortable that with the numbers we're looking at, that even if we went to that expense to have an analysis done,
what's
we'd come up with the same.
Right.
Yeah, what's it going to get you?
Is Stephen Brown on the call?
Yeah.
Did you just bring in?
I did.
Okay. I forget what our question was. We were going to ask him about...
Cody, there was a... this is Mike Henderson. And I'm talking about an EIS that we're working on with St. Louis County. MoDOT is working on with St. Louis County. And they did a hotspot analysis evaluation as part of their EIS document. And one of the things that came up, they used our hotspot analysis document that we created in the interagency group. And there was a footnote put at the bottom of the CO analysis that says, if you answer no to these questions, it says, if no, a qualitative CO hotspot analysis is required. And that struck me as not being correct, because my thoughts were, if you answer no to the questions, you don't have to do any analysis. And what that footnote says, in essence, is that regardless of what you answer to those questions, you're either going to do a qualitative or a quantitative analysis. And that's not the case, as by my understanding. So I look back in the documents that I had and tried to find where that came from, where that footnote came from, and it came from an OTAC comment that we've got up here in front of us, but obviously you can't see that. It was a footnote, you know, how they put their comments in and then put a little box explaining the comment over to the side?
Yeah.
This footnote was put in without an explanation. And, you know, it was just a footnote that I know is, from my standpoint, I just overlooked it, thinking that it would be meaningless. But now that we've put this into practice and a project sponsor has used this document as part of their EIS documentation, I'm seeing that we might have a problem. So I'm proposing we take that footnote. Pardon?
What does the footnote say? Does it reference? It just references. It doesn't explain anything. It just says if you answer no to these questions, then therefore.
Well, it says if no, a qualitative CO hotspot analysis is required, and then in parentheses it says under 40 CFR 93.123A2. But that's the normal hotspot requirement. Previously, before the quantitative requirement came out, a qualitative analysis was required. But the fact that now a quantitative analysis is required, to go back and say, well, you need to do a qualitative anyway, but if you answer yes to these questions, then you have to do a quantitative, I don't think is correct. That's a different interpretation than my understanding. So
no, I think you're right. I think that if either you do a hotspot analysis and now it's a qualitative or no quantitative,
yes.
Either you do one or you don't, based
right.
on what that guidance that we all worked on together.
Right.
That's the way I interpret it.
That's my interpretation too, and like I said, when I'm reading this EIS document, that's the first thing that jumped out at. But then I look back and I see it's an OTAC comment, so I really had to look back and see where that came from, and I couldn't change my interpretation.
So what Mike is proposing is to strike that from our criteria document and bring that up for consideration at our next meeting.
Okay. I've got one question. It seems like we're looking at this in terms of the guidance that was issued for PM 2.5 hotspots that define what a project of air quality concern is. But the CO goes way back before the project of air quality concern definition that we're currently dealing with. And I'm not familiar with all these analysis requirements, but is this a standalone requirement for CO that you just have to do some kind of analysis, qualitative or quantitative?
If that's the case, then my understanding is different than that. A qualitative analysis used to be required before the quantitative requirement came along. The qualitative used to be required. And then when the quantitative came along, then it kind of made the qualitative analysis obsolete, in my understanding.
Well, I just know that at IDOT, you know, runs that COSIM model that we developed a few years back on everything. So it's not even like they look at it and say, do we need to do anything? They run that model and get the answer and put it in the documentation and take the next step. So I guess before we go changing anything, we want to make sure we talk with OTAC and see what the reasoning for their comment was, and would that be acceptable to them if we changed our document to say, no, we don't need to do this.
That's my intent in holding it off till next month before we do anything with it. See if Cody can run that pass down.
Yeah,
but if that is the case, then I'm going to suggest that we take that footnote out of there and put something up at the beginning of the CO part of our document that says a qualitative analysis is required no matter what, but a quantitative analysis is required if you answer yes to these criteria. Mm-hmm. That's what I would propose, instead of having a footnote.
Do you have a page number of that?
It's on page E4 and E5. The actual footnote's on E5. It's under the discussion on CO.
Okay, thank you.
So right now we're going to propose that be taken out, but Cody, if you could run that past OTAC, and if there's a good reason, maybe we just, you know, I think the document needs to be changed one way or another.
Okay, I'll get some better definition of that.
And did you hear our discussion about the 10% truck traffic or 10,000 trucks?
I came in on the last part of that.
Okay.
The document says 10% or 10,000 trucks right now. This current EIS document that I'm reviewing has numbers of 11% truck traffic, which equates to about 5,000. So the proposal is to maybe change the document to say either and or just and, 10% and 10,000 trucks, or 10% and or 10,000 trucks, to clear that up.
That's on E4. That's the second question on E4.
Because this question might come up. I mean, the way I framed it before was Federal Highway is going to have to make the call on these EIS documents and the air quality part of it. The fact that we're addressing hotspot, acknowledging that it's there now, it's We've come a long way because we weren't in our documents before even addressing that. But I think we're still going to have very few projects that are going to actually require a hotspot analysis. Bottom line is, if you get something that's close, then project sponsors are going to have to bring their concerns to the interagency group and then let us decide, you know, whether it's going to require a hotspot analysis or not. In this situation, I felt comfortable telling the project sponsor that I didn't think it would rise to the level of needing a hotspot analysis. So that's something for everybody to mull around between now and the next meeting also. How tight we want to look at these things. You know, I'm sure Federal Highway is going to be interested in, you know, because they're the ones ultimately signing off on the
right
record of decision on these environmental documents.
Stephen and Cody Brown had a good point that since there's a section for CO and a section for PM2.5, are they treated differently? Is there a historic reason?
Well, I think when we went through developing the document, I think that's one thing that came out. We had everything under one umbrella before, and one of the big comments was that they need to be separate. That was Mike Rogers, I think, that said that.
Right.
Yeah, they are two separate, distinct rules.
And so is there a difference? Do you know specifically what 40 CFR 93.123A2 says? Is it specific to CO?
That's basically where I pulled this stuff from.
Yeah. I'm not so familiar with the CO part of it because it came up later, and then I was off of this particular job and then back on this job. So I'm familiar with the PM hotspot analysis, but not the criteria for CO as much, but I can look that up. But I know that they are definitely two separate, completely separate rules there. So,
I think we're left with, unless anybody else has any additional comments, to bring it back at the next meeting
and next meeting.
Finalize whatever we decide to do.
And if you could bring back some proposed wording, discuss
right
hand or
but,
hand or
if anybody's got any ideas about how we do that between now and then, let Mike know, and you know, maybe we can mold through some of this stuff before we get to that meeting.
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, the two issues are real simple. Either it requires a qualitative analysis and a quantitative analysis. If it does, then we just change the document around to make it flow a little bit better.
And Cody's going to check with OTAG in the meantime.
Yes, I'm checking on the footnote. Was there one other thing, the 10% or the 10,000 trucks that I
need? Yeah, and that's just, can we tighten the document up a little bit by saying and or? Because by saying or, the 11.7% is over our 10% limit. So that would throw, you would answer no to that question. Because it's over 10%, but it's under 10,000. Which then that would make the project sponsor have to come back to the interagency group for us to tell them no analysis is required. If we said and or, then we could kind of make that determination and move along towards Federal Highway approval, and then it'd be up to Federal Highway to say, no, you need to go back to the interagency group. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Well, we will adjourn to the next meeting. Any other comments or questions? If not, we'll Carol.
Passing out the IDOT.
Oh, that's right.
Study on the PM 2.5 hotspot analysis. They were looking for that, like, guideline. They completed their study, and we're just handing out the executive summary.
It doesn't look like it's going to be something that we can use or apply.
But they...
That we thought, we thought it would be like a universal tool. And turns out it's more site-specific.
More site-specific, but they did a lot of loose runs. They did at least 4 hotspot analysis trial runs. They did 2 up in Chicago, 2 down in the Metro East. So they have a lot of...
So did they come out, when they did those analysis, did they find any concerns that would keep an EIS document from being moved forward? I mean, did they have... What am I trying to say? Did they find that there was actually a hotspot in any of their test runs?
No.
No, it said that... they have what they're found to a contribution of a pilot of a project would be, and it's, the backgrounds are so high that could just go over and then.
Yeah, I mean, the more examples we have, the better we're off, the better decisions we're going to be able to make. Right now, we're just, all we can focus on is this document that we've created. We don't really know without doing some analysis what an extra 1% say in truck traffic is going to do.
Right.
So if this is what Mike Henderson sent us, a PDF of the final, and we just printed off the executive summary, but they...
Mike Rogers?
No, Mike Henderson sent it to me.
Yes.
But Mike Rogers was on the study team.
Well, Mike Henderson sent it to me.
No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, okay. It came from the Subcommittee on the Environment from Ashton. That's where I got it from. And I just thought, okay. That's what you said. I don't remember having anything on the other website, but no, that came again.
Most interesting thing was the observation of how long it took to set one of those hotspot analyses up and how much data you need that you don't normally have.
That's why I said, if for that 1% extra, if we went back to that project sponsor or Federal Highway said, we can't sign an EIS until you do a full-blown hotspot analysis, it increases the cost of that project.
Okay, with that, anything else? If not, meeting adjourned. We'll meet on October 29th. Thank you all.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank